Bune sunt roșii vâșii, oare întâi cu aur?
18. He's there an hour ahead of schedule. He was shooting for half an hour early, but once he gets a load of Compton, he's heard stories about the place, of course, but my God, he starts driving like a maniac. Cheap, nasty franchises all tend to adopt logos with a lot of bright, hideous yellow in them, and so Alameda Street is clearly marked out before him, a gout of radioactive urine ejected south from the dead center of L.A. Jason aims himself right down the middle, ignoring lane markings and red lights, and puts the hammer down. Most of the franchises are yellow-logoed, wrong-side-of-the-tracks operations, like Uptown, Narcolombia, Cayman's Plus, Medizania, and the Clink. But standing out like rocky islands in this swamp are the Nova Sicilia franchises, beachheads for the Mafia's effort to out-duel the overwhelmingly strong Narcolombia. Shitty lots that even the Clink wouldn't buy always tend to get picked up by economy-minded three-ringers who have just shelled out ¥1,000,000 for a Narcolombia license and who need some real estate, any real estate that they can throw a fence around and extraterritorialize. These local franchises send most of their gross to Medellin in franchising fees and keep barely enough to pay overhead. Some of them try to scam, to sneak a few bills into their pocket when they think the security camera isn't watching, and run down the street to the nearest Cayman's Plus or the Alps Franchelet, which hover in these areas like flies on roadkill. But these people rapidly find out that in Narcolombia, just about everything is a capital offense, and there is no judicial system to speak of, just flying justice squads that have the right to blow into your franchelet any time of day or night and fax your records back to the notoriously picky computer in Medellin. Nothing sucks more than being hauled in front of a firing squad against the back wall of the business that you built with your own two hands. Uncle Enzo reckons that with the Mafia's emphasis on loyalty and traditional family values, they can sign up a lot of these entrepreneurs before they become Narcolombian citizens. And that explains the billboards that Jason sees with growing frequency as he drives into Compton. The smiling face of Uncle Enzo seems to beam down from every corner. Typically, he's got his arm around the shoulders of a young, wholesome-looking black kid, and there's a catchphrase above.
The Mafia. You've got a friend in the family.
And,
relax. You are entering a Mafia Watch neighborhood.
And,
Uncle Enzo forgives and forgets.
This last one usually accompanies a picture of Uncle Enzo with his arm around some teenager's shoulders, giving him a stern, avuncular talking to. It is an allusion to the fact that the Colombians and Jamaicans kill just about everyone.
No way, Jose!
Uncle Enzo, holding up one hand to stop an Uzi-toting Hispanic scumbag. Behind him stands a pan-ethnic phalanx of kids and grannies resolutely gripping baseball bats and frying pans. Oh, sure, the Narcolombians still have a lock on coca leaves, but now that Nippon Pharmaceuticals has its big cocaine synthesis facility in Mexicali nearly complete, that will cease to be a factor. The Mafia is betting that any smart youngster going into the business these days will take note of these billboards and think twice. Why end up suffocating on your own entrails out in back of some buy-and-fly when you can put on a crisp terracotta blazer instead and become part of a jovial familia? Especially now that they have black, Hispanic, and Asian capos who will respect your cultural identity. In the long term, Jason is bullish on the mob. His black Oldsmobile is a fucking bullseye in a place like this. It's the worst thing he has ever seen, Compton. Lepers roasting dogs on spits over tubs of flaming kerosene. Street people pushing wheelbarrows piled high with dripping clots of million and billion dollar bills that they have raked up out of storm sewers. Roadkills, enormous roadkills, roadkills so big that they could only be human beings, smeared out into chunky swaths a block long. Burning roadblocks across major avenues. No franchises anywhere. The Oldsmobile keeps popping. Jason can't think of what it is until he realizes that people are shooting at him. Good thing he let his uncle talk him into springing for full armor. When he figures that one out, he actually gets psyched. This is the real thing, man. He's driving around in his olds, and the bastards are shooting at him, and it just don't matter. Every street for 3 blocks around the franchise is blocked off by mafia war wagons. Men lurk on top of burned tenements, carrying 6-foot-long rifles and wearing black windbreakers with mafia across the back in 5-inch fluorescent letters. This is it, man. This is the real shit. Pulling up to the checkpoint, he notes that his olds is now straddling a portable claymore mine. If he's the wrong guy, it'll turn the car into a steel donut. But he's not the wrong guy. He's the right guy. He's got a priority job, a heap of documents on the seat next to him, wrapped up tight and pretty. He rolls the window down, and a top echelon mafia guardsman nails him with the retinal scanner. None of this ID card nonsense. They know who he is in a microsecond. He sits back against his whiplash arrester, turns the rearview mirror to face himself, checks his hairstyle. It's not half bad.
"Bud," the guard says, "you ain't on the list."
"Yes, I am," Jason says. "This is a priority delivery. Got the papers right here." He hands a hard copy of the Turfnet job order to the guard, who looks at it, grunts, and goes into his war wagon, which is richly festooned with antennas. There is a very, very long wait. A man is approaching on foot, walking across the emptiness between the mafia franchise and the perimeter. The vacant lot is a wilderness of charred bricks and twisted electrical conduit, but this gentleman is walking across it like Christ on the Sea of Galilee. His suit is perfectly black. So is his hair. He doesn't have any guards with him. The perimeter security is that good. Jason notices that all the guards at this checkpoint are standing a little straighter, adjusting their ties, shooting their cuffs. Jason wants to climb out of his bullet-pocked Oldsmobile to show proper respect to whoever this guy is. But he can't get the door open because a big guard is standing right there, using the roof as a mirror. All too quickly, he's there.
"Is this him?" he says to the guard.
The guard looks at Jason for a couple of seconds, as though he can't quite believe it, then looks at the important man in the black suit and nods. The man in the black suit nods back, tugs on his cuffs a little bit, squints around him for a few moments, looking at the snipers up on the roofs, looking everywhere but at Jason. Then he steps forward one pace. One of his eyes is made of glass and doesn't point in the same direction as the other one. Jason thinks he's looking elsewhere, but he's looking at Jason with his good eye. Or maybe he isn't. Jason can't tell which eye is the real one. He shudders and stiffens like a puppy in a deep freeze.
"Jason Breckenridge," the man says.
"The iron pumper," Jason reminds him.
"Shut up. For the rest of the conversation, you don't say anything. When I tell you what you did wrong, you don't say you're sorry because I already know you're sorry. And when you drive out of here alive, you don't thank me for being alive. And you don't even say goodbye to me."
Jason nods.
"I don't even want you to nod. That's how much you annoy me. Just freeze and shut up. Okay, here we go. We gave you a priority job this morning. It was real easy. All you had to do was read the fucking job sheet. But you didn't read it. You just took it upon yourself to make the fucking delivery on your own, which the job sheet explicitly tells you not to do."
Jason's eyes flick in the direction of the bundle of documents on the seat.
"That's crap," the man says. "We don't want your fucking documents. We don't care about you and your fucking franchise out in the middle of nowhere. All we wanted was the courier. The job sheet said that this delivery was supposed to be made by one particular courier who works your area, name of Whitey. Uncle Enzo happens to like Whitey. He wants to meet her. Now, because you screwed up, Uncle Enzo doesn't get his wish. Oh, what a terrible outcome. What an embarrassment. What an incredible fuck-up is what it is. It's too late to save your franchise, Jason the Iron Pumper. But it might not be too late to keep the sewer rats from eating your nipples for dinner.